That verse 2 of Genesis 43, we have mentioned there another one of the little things in life. And we read in verse 2, "And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food." A little food was what Jacob and his sons required in the midst of a great famine. Of all the men mentioned in the Old Testament, Joseph, the son of Jacob, is perhaps the most Christ-like of them all. For no matter where you look in his life and character, you cannot help but see God's dear Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. Examine the life of Joseph, and you will be reminded of Christ. When you look at Joseph, you're reminded of the purity of Christ. Because in no matter what situation Joseph found himself in, there is no record or reference to Joseph's sin. That's not to say he wasn't a sinner. He most certainly was, as we all are. But he was a very upright and lived a pure life, because there is no record of his sinful ways or sinful words or indeed sinful works. You don't read of any of these things relating to Joseph. Like Job, we could say of Joseph, he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job 1, verse 1. No matter where you care to look in Joseph's character, his conduct, or even, as it were, listen to his conversations, you will see one, of course, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. You will see Christ in the life of Joseph, which reminds us of the purity of Christ. But then there is something else that is said about Joseph here in these verses that we have read. We are reminded that the Lord Jesus is perfect. We see here the perfection of Christ. In this conversation between Jacob and his sons, when speaking about Joseph, the one to whom they were going to purchase a little food, Joseph is referred to over and over again as the man. You look there in verse 3, "And Judah spake unto him," that is unto Jacob, his father, "saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you." Now in the 15 verses that we read, dealing with the conversation between Jacob and his sons, you will find that the man is mentioned no less than 7 times. In speaking about Joseph and referring to him as the man is mentioned 7 times. We have it there, as we mentioned, in verse 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, and verse 11, and again verses 13 and 14. So the man is mentioned 7 times. 7, we're all aware, is the word, or is the number of perfection or completeness. And so here we are reminded of Christ, who is the perfect man. He is the complete man. There is nothing lacking in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, of course, have discovered that. He is complete. We need nothing else when we know the Lord Jesus. He's the perfect man because he's without sin. He never made a mistake. He never committed a sin. He never failed or faltered in anything which he did. And so when we look at Joseph, we're reminded of the purity of Christ. We look at Joseph and we're reminded of the perfection of Christ. We look at Joseph and we're reminded of the patience of Christ. Now here we have the sons of Jacob speaking about this man in Egypt. At that time, of course, they were unaware that the man in Egypt was their own brother, Joseph. And we know what they did with Joseph. We know that they hated him. When he revealed unto them the dreams that he had, that one day they would bow down before him, that simply increased their hatred for Joseph. And we know that they hated him so much they were ready to kill him, except for the intervention of Reuben. And this reminds us, of course, of the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Just as Joseph's own brothers received him not. And it was the Jews who rejected Christ and wanted to kill him. But in all that happened to Joseph, he showed that spirit of patience. He was a patient man. Even though they falsely witnessed against him. And of course Joseph was falsely accused. So was the Lord Jesus. We're told in Mark 14, and many bear false witness against him. Still, like Joseph, the Lord Jesus maintained a patient spirit. They brought false witnesses against him, but through it all, the Lord was patient. And like Joseph, he was arrested and imprisoned. Joseph was put in prison, falsely accused. And we read in Isaiah 53, verse 8, that the Lord Jesus was taken from prison and from judgment. And still the Lord maintained that patient spirit. And so in many, many ways, we've only highlighted three here in this particular conversation between Jacob and his sons. Speaking about Joseph the man, we have seen the Lord Jesus. And go through the life of Joseph and you will see the Lord Jesus every time. He's such a Christ-like individual. And just as his brethren went to him, to this man, to buy a little food, so we go to Christ in our times of need. And that is what I want this morning. As we look at the little things in life as we find them in the scriptures, I want us to consider this event. When Joseph's brethren came to him to buy a little food. And we liken that unto us going to Christ. When we have a need and we go to him, as it were, to buy a little food. I want us first of all to consider the famine. That's how the chapter begins. And the famine was sore in the land. This was a prolonged famine in Israel. And Jacob and his household were in dire need of food. Indeed, of a little food. Even if they could only have a little food, that would satisfy them for a period of time. And so here we have, with regard to the famine, their situation. The famine is described as being sore in the land. That tells us of the effect the famine had upon the people. Because the word sore means grievous, it means hard, it means heavy, and it also means slow. And so because of the famine, many were grieved. Because of the famine bore hard upon them. They were driven into hardship. The famine was a heavy burden upon them. And the famine was slow to move away. And so you have the meaning of all, or of this word. It means grievous and hard and heavy and slow. And that may be applied to the families in Israel. And in particular, to the family we're focusing on today, family of Jacob. The famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little food. It was grievous, causing great grief and suffering. The same word is used to describe the grief and sorrow experienced by Jacob's sons when Jacob died. Genesis 50 verses 10 and 11. And so that illustrates for us just what grief, terrible grief, the famine brought upon the people of Israel. It was the same grief that someone would experience if they lost a loved one, and they would grieve over that loved one's death. That's the grief that the people felt because of the famine. That was the grief that Jacob and his sons experienced because of the famine. The word sore also means hard. And the famine caused the same grief and hardship. And the burden fine food was heavy. And so they were burdened. They were grief-stricken. They found this experience great hardship. There was only one answer to the situation. There was only one thing that they could do. And that was, go again to the man and buy a little food. Joseph the man was the answer to their difficulty. Joseph the man was the answer to their grief, to their hardship, to the heavy burden that they were experiencing. Because Joseph the man had enough food in his storehouses to supply all of their need. And here we find ourselves considering once more the Lord Jesus. For we have often found ourselves in similar situations from time to time. Situations accompanied with grief. Situations that have weighed heavily upon us and burdened us. Situations that burden us greatly and are hard to bear. Well, just as Joseph had the answer to Jacob's need, So Jesus Christ has the answer and is the answer to our needs also. Philippians 4 verse 19 tells us that He is able to supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. Just as Joseph could supply Jacob's needs, so Jesus Christ is able to supply our needs. He can cure us of our griefs. He can lift our heavy burdens. He can turn our sorrows into joy. So let us even today go on to Jesus. And He will meet whatever need we have, even this very day. So you have the situation. Secondly, with regard to the famine, we have the supply. The supply of food which they had previously received from the hand of Joseph, we are told, it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn. So the food that they had already received, the corn that they had already received from Joseph, they had exhausted it. There was no food left. Their supply of corn had been exhausted, and the famine still gripped the land with no end in sight. It was a slow-moving famine. And there are times when you and I have exhausted all of our resources. It's not so much the grain that we exhaust at times, but it is the grace. We need more grace. Not so much the food that we exhaust, that is exhausted, but more our faith. Because we need more faith. We need even a little more faith. For if we had a little faith, we could remove mountains. We need more grace. We need more faith. It's not so much more corn as more consecration to God. Because we get waylaid, we're taken up with the things of the world, and we need to be more consecrated to the Lord. It's more grace, more faith, more consecration. It's not so much more meat that we need, but it is more mercy that we are in short supply of. Perhaps there's not a famine in the land, and we thank the Lord for that. But maybe there is a famine in our hearts and in our lives. There's a famine where there should be fruitfulness. There's a barrenness in our soul where there should be blessing. There's a dryness where there should be a well-watered garden. Have we ever been there? Yes, speaking of our own souls, we might say the famine is sore in the land. We then need a fresh supply of grace, a fresh supply of faith, a fresh supply of mercy and happiness and strength. Because all these things from time to time, we exhaust them. The fruit of the Spirit, we exhaust the different parts of the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to go to Christ for a fresh supply. We need to go to Him, even as the prophet has said, for a little reviving. Even a little reviving would make a great change to us and to our lives. And so, Jacob sent his sons. They needed a fresh supply of food. We need a fresh supply of grace. We must go to Christ. A fresh supply of faith. We must go to Christ. Whatever we need, it is to Christ we must go. And then that leads us to consider the suggestion. We are told that when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again. Go again. Buy us a little corn or a little food. Go again. They knew they could go again to this man in Egypt to buy a little food. And thankfully, we can go again to our Joseph. We can go again to the Lord Jesus. And we can go to him again and again and again and again. Whenever Jacob suggested to his sons that they go again to the man and buy a little food, it appears here that he was fairly confident that whenever his sons would go to the man in Egypt, that he would indeed supply them the food that they needed. And thankfully, believer, we can go again to Christ confident that whatever our lack is, whatever our need is, that he will supply it. He will not fail us. And when our soul is barren, when the vessel is empty, when the stream has dried up, when there is no fruit on the vine of our souls, then it is to Jesus we must go. Because when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed or the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. So we may go to him again, and he will give to us again and again. So what exactly is our spiritual need today? Is it a little reviving we need? Is it a little more grace we need? Is it more faith we need? A little more blessing we need? Then let us take to heart the suggestion and go to our Joseph. Go to Christ. And he will supply that need. His barns are full. His fountain never runs dry. His tables are laden. His harvest is plenteous. There's always plenty with Christ. And he's ready and he's willing to give it away to all who come to him. You turn over to 2 Corinthians 9. Here Paul speaks about this very thing. That is 2 Corinthians 9. And we read in verse 10. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now you take that word ministereth or minister. those words mean supply. So the Lord will supply our spiritual needs. Now he that supplieth seed to the sower, both supplieth for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You can see the connection. That the Lord will supply the fruits of our righteousness. And that's surely what we desire. We desire to be fruitful Christians. Be fruitful in righteousness, not barren, not dry, but fruitful. So having considered the famine, let us now look at the family. Jacob and his sons considered this suggestion about going again to Joseph to obtain a little food. There is here, first of all, the discussion. Note the discussion. Judah reminded his father of what the man said during their first visit. In verse 3, Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. The reference there is to Benjamin. And Joseph, of course, knew all about the family. And Joseph wanted to see the youngest in the family. He wanted to see Benjamin. And this was his way of ensuring that his brethren brought his youngest brother when they would come to seek food once again. And so there was this discussion. Jacob didn't want Benjamin to go. He had already lost in his mind one son, named Joseph, and he didn't want to lose another. And so they discussed this matter. But was it not better to let Benjamin go and obtain food rather than not go at all? And as Judah said in verse 8, send the lad with me and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. This was a hurdle that Jacob had to get over. He had to make the decision, was he going to allow Benjamin to go? Or were they going to sit there and do nothing and die and not live? That's what it was all about. And you know it's the same with us. Whenever we go through those dry, barren spells in our soul, we know that there is an answer. We can go to Christ. But there's maybe a barrier in the way. There's something that hinders us from going to the Lord. Maybe it's a besetting sin that we don't want to give up. And we know that's the cause of our barrenness. And surely the Christian who has been living a dry, barren, fruitless life needs to get up and go to Jesus Christ. He cannot afford to remain as he is. Surely the backslidden Christian does not want to remain a backslider. Surely the joyous Christian doesn't want to remain joyless. Surely the cold-hearted Christian doesn't want to remain cold of heart. Surely the powerless Christian doesn't want to go through life remaining powerless. So whatever hindrance needs to be removed, whatever sacrifice must be made, whatever price must be paid, then it is better to do it, to make the sacrifice, pay the price, remove the hindrance, if we want all our spiritual needs met, and the spiritual needs of our soul. So as Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us go to Christ. Or as Peter said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, let us get to Christ. There's no point, no benefit in starving your soul if Christ can give you all that you need. If Christ can water that barren soul. If Christ can feed that hungry soul. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And so we notice also not only the discussion, but the delay. There was a delay here. Judah was pressing his father to allow Benjamin to go with them to buy a little food. He wanted Jacob to do what the man in Egypt required of him. And so it is. If we want to enjoy the blessing of God, and the blessing of God in our soul, then we must do what the Lord requires of us. We cannot expect blessing in our hearts. We cannot expect to live a fruitful life and have a fruitful soul if we do not do what the Lord requires of us. The barrenness, the dryness, the fruitlessness will continue if we don't give attention to what the Lord Jesus requires of us. You turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy 10, and there we read in verse 12, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" So here's what the Lord requires. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." For thy good. That's what is being taught here in Genesis 43. That if Jacob did what the man in Egypt required of him, it would be for his good, because he would then receive that little food that he required, that he needed. They were to do what Joseph required. If not, Joseph says, you'll not see my face again. So it is with the Lord. We must do as he requires of us. But what was troubling Judah was the delay. Look at verse 10 of Genesis 43. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. In other words, Judah was saying, we're wasting time. We're lingering here. Why? We could have been there and back again with the food we require, we need. Let us not linger. Let us not delay. And so, believer, it is with us. When the soul experiences a famine, there should not be any delay in rising up and going to Jesus. Why continue on the miserable, barren state? Why continue? Let us delay no longer, but rise up and go with haste to the Lord Jesus. Next, you have the decision. The important decision was taken to go and seek a little food from the man there in Egypt. And we read in verse 11, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present. Here the word little is mentioned twice over again. Carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, and go again unto the man. And Jacob goes on to say, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. In other words, whatever the price, I have to pay it if we are to enjoy a little food. The decision was taken. And the best that they could do, as far as a present for the man, was a little balm and a little honey. You know, whenever we go to the Lord, we go to him, bring before him our petitions, set before him our needs, we don't have much to go to him with, do we? We've only got little things. We've nothing to boast of. We can't boast and bring before him great things. We're completely dependent on his mercy, dependent on his grace, just as Jacob was and the man in Egypt. All they could do was to send these little things. It was, after all, there was a famine in the land, and also to send Benjamin. Notice again what he said in verse 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man. In other words, Jacob was saying to his brethren, may that man have mercy on you. May God Almighty show mercy to you when you go to that man. And you know, whenever we go to the man Christ Jesus, he will always show us mercy. There's mercy with the Lord. When you go, and Jacob was trusting in God Almighty that the man in Egypt would supply his need. And of course that trust was not misplaced. So it is with us. When we go to Christ and we're trusting Him, we're trusting our God, our Savior, to supply our needs, to come and visit the vine, make it fruitful, to come and visit our souls, that it's no longer barren, that trust will not be misplaced. The Lord will meet the need of your soul and mine. For He has said in Hosea 14 verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. So like Jacob, let us, where necessary, take that same decision and go to Jesus, and He will give us what we need. Jacob had sent the brethren to go and ask for a little food. That leads us in the last place. From the famine to the family to the feast. That's our message today. From a famine to a feast. Jacob and his sons wanted to buy a little food from Joseph. Instead, when they went, they enjoyed a feast of good things. Number one, notice the promise. In verse 16, the promise. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay, that is, slay a calf, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. That was the promise that was given to the ruler of Joseph's house. They had gone there intending to purchase only a little food. Instead, they were promised that they would dine with Joseph at noon. This was much more than what they expected. This indeed was a royal welcome that they received. And how wonderfully this illustrates for us the way the Lord Jesus welcomes back His erring children. This was Joseph, and he was welcoming his brethren from that land of famine. And the first thing he did was to give the command, bring them into my house and they will dine with me at noon. And they were going to eat of the fatted calf. Let them dine with me. That reminds us of the Lord Jesus again. John 21. The seven disciples had gone back to their fishing, toiled all night, caught nothing. The Lord appeared on the shore, told them what side of the ship to cast the net, and they filled their nets with fishes. And then the Lord said to them, come and dine. Come and dine. That's how the Lord treats those barren, dry souls that will go to Him. He will say, come and dine with me. And how He treats the backslider who returns to Him. He says, come and dine with me. And how He treats the hungry and thirsty soul. He says, come and dine with me. And how He treats the one who longs for a more fruitful Christian life. He says, come and dine with me. Yes, He will receive us warmly, even as the Father received His returning prodigal son, and even as Joseph received his brethren. They came prepared to buy a little food. Instead, they were treated to a feast. That's the way Christ treats us. That's how He treats us. We'll go to Him in our emptiness, in our barrenness, and He'll say to us, come and dine. He brings us from the place of a famine to the place of a feast. We notice also the plenty, the promise, and the plenty. Jacob's sons had gone to buy a little bread, but what they received was much more. Verse 21. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, they're relating the first time, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. Verse 23. And he said, that is the man in charge of Jacob or Joseph's house, and he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And we know that when Jacob's sons returned home again, the sack was full and money was in the sack and golden vessels were in the sack as well. All they wanted was a little food. But look how well they were treated by Joseph. They had brought the money. The money was given back to them. They had come to buy a little food. What did they receive? They received sacks that were full of grain. That's how the Lord treats us. It's just typical of the Lord and how He treats us when we go to Him. We say, Lord, grant me a little reviving. Grant me a little more faith. Give me a little more grace. Luke 6, verse 38. We ask for these things, but what does he give? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. That's what he gives. We go to him with our little balm and our little honey, wanting to buy a little food. But instead, he gives us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Whatever petition we bring to the Lord, whatever we ask for, the words of the man of God, the Lord is able to give much more than this, is a word that is true when we go to Christ. The Lord is able to give thee much more than the 2 Chronicles 25:9. A little food. When you go to Christ to seek a little, he'll fill your sacks and he'll give you treasure in those sacks as well. In the last place, you have the provision. For the brethren of Joseph, they went from a famine to a feast. Look at verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them, food unto them, from before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. He did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. There's the provision. Fill the sacks with corn. Put money in the sacks. Put my cup in the sacks. From a famine to a feast. What a provision. And the Lord is no different. The Lord, we can say, is better still. He always gives us more than what we ask for. We may go to him and ask for a little food, but in return, he will fill our sacks. What wonderful lessons there are for us in this wonderful portion of Scripture regarding the little things in life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord and gracious Father, we come to thee in the Savior's name. Do thank you, Lord, for thy own holy and precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that when we turn to it, it is like indeed those sacks, Lord, they're full, thy word is full and running over. There are many precious, valuable treasures that, Lord, we find in this word. O Lord, have us to search for them and seek for them, and we will find them. We pray, dear Lord, thou will bless us around thy table now. May we again look away to Calvary. May we behold the man. In his dear and precious name we pray. Amen.